Hallelujah. Amen. What a great God we serve today. I want to say happy Thanksgiving in advance to all of you. I hope that you have a very glorious celebration on Thanksgiving Day, and to be able to be with some family and friends and have a great time of Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I think it's one of the greatest emotions that human beings have is to be thankful. I can't imagine not being able to be thankful. It's a miserable thing to not be thankful. And I know that. I've certainly observed that in other people's lives. Some people, my brother used to say, they wouldn't be happy if you hung them with a new rope. Well, I guess I could get that one, but some people just are never happy. They're never satisfied. They're always unthankful. They don't see what they have. They always got their eye on something else. Amen. It's the proverbial story that we've told about catching monkeys. You know how to catch a monkey. You put something in a jar that he wants, and you plant it, and just enough room to get his hand in the jar, and he'll close his fist around it, and he won't let go. So you just go dig up the jar, and then you got the jar, monkey and all, because once he gets his hand on something, he's not going to let go of it. Amen. And we could take a lesson from that. Some people are trapped by possessions. They can't let go of things. Some people are trapped by unforgiveness. Something happened they can't let go of. They're holding on to it, and it holds them captive. They're free. All they've got to do is let go. But for some reason, they can't let go, and it holds them captive. And so I want to give thanks to the Lord today, and not just Thanksgiving Day, but every day. But I'm glad that at one point in our history, this nation was thankful enough to create such a day. Amen. And I'm happy for that. And so happy Thanksgiving. Good to see everybody today. Thank you for being here. Real good to see Sister Stevens. We've been missing her. Glad she's feeling better. Able to be with us here. Amen. Good to see Amy with us today. God bless you. Amen. Glad you're all here, brother and sister. McGee, we're glad y'all are here. Good to see you. And your precious little girls. God bless you. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. There will be service Wednesday night. Now Thursday, Spanish Express will not be having that. Amen. But Brother Carey, do you know Genesis 1 and 1 in Spanish? Repita, por favor. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Amen. He got that from Spanish Express and a lot of hard work on his part. Amen. We appreciate that. We've been having a great time. I will not do it this Thursday, but we welcome you to come the next Thursday. We'll be picking up again, and it's fun and informative. Amen. Let's stand together today. We're going to the book of John, to the 11th chapter. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 43 to verse 47. John chapter 11, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Wow. Did you get that? And he that was, let's repeat that word, dead. You know what that means in the Greek? Dead. Lifeless. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I want to preach today about after the miracle. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Among the miracles of Jesus, one of the greatest is the resurrection of his friend Lazarus. Lazarus, according to the scriptures, had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. Jesus tarried his coming. They had done the funeral. They had put him in the tomb. They rolled a stone to seal the tomb. And as far as the life of Lazarus was concerned, it was history relegated to the past until Jesus Christ stepped on the scene and stood before that tomb and said, roll away the stone. Stone rolled away. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And there from somewhere in the celestial realm, spirit returned to a body, and a man hobbled out, bound hand and foot, and stood there before them. And they beheld the greatest miracle that human beings had ever seen until that time. Nothing like that had ever happened before. Yes, Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus. And yes, Jesus had stopped the funeral procession at Nain and called a young man back to life. But he had never called anybody out of a tomb after 4 days of being among the dead. Now that's a miracle. In anybody's book, that's a miracle. Hallelujah. And you talk about excitement. You can be sure of one thing. That miracles was on the tongue of every person in the, and the word was fast, and people were talking all again and again and again about the miracle that Jesus did, and everywhere that Lazarus went, can you imagine being Lazarus? Woo! Can you imagine Lazarus walking down the street and everybody looking at him like, that's Lazarus. Eyeballs big, jaws on hinges, tongues hanging out. That's Lazarus. Wow. People, Lazarus, tell us about it. A miracle. My, what a miracle. And the Bible says that the scripture, verse 45, said, and many, everybody say, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So one of the things that happened after the miracle was there was great faith. People that were on the fence got off the fence. Amen. People that had been trying to make up their mind, made up their mind. People decided this is him. This is Messiah. This is the one we've been looking for. Nobody can do what this man can do. He's got to be more than just a man. He is the Lord of life. Amen. And the Bible said many people came to believe on Jesus because they had seen the miracle. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord. What I don't understand is that there were some that didn't. It's not really amazing to me that people that saw a man resurrected to life that had been dead for 4 days. It's not a miracle to me how they could believe. But it's hard for me to understand how some people could not believe. But it says, but some. of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. How in the world can somebody witness that kind of an event and walk away from that with their minds made up? All I want to do is tattle on him. I've got to go. This is not supposed to happen. Amen. You know, some people, when they come face to face with a miracle, they just face the miracle with disbelief. And they get all upset because that's not supposed to happen in the real world. Dead people are not supposed to live. And living people are not supposed to call the dead to life. Something's out of kilter here. Something's wrong. Let's tell the Pharisees. Go ahead. Tell them. Tattletale. Hope you feel better. Na, 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 na. Isn't that a childish game? We're going to go tell the Pharisees on you. So, the Bible said they come to the Pharisees. And when they told them, they got all excited. And the Bible said they gathered the chief priests. Everybody say the chief priests. Woo! And the Pharisees, a council, and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. Duh. What do you mean, what do you do? Believe. That's what any thinking person would do. That's what any sane person would do. Just believe. Miracle, by definition, is something that's impossible for somebody to do, but he did. That ought to tell you something about the man. Amen. So, but they got together in a council and they started saying, what are we going to do? This guy's out there doing miracles. He can't be doing miracles. We can't have that. We can't have somebody going around doing miracles among us. We got to stop this. And so they made up their mind. They didn't want anybody upsetting their apple cart. Here's the problem. Verse number 48 nails it. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. There's the problem. If he keeps this up, everybody's going to, what's wrong with that? I mean, he's doing miracles. He's only doing good. What bad could come out of blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, lepers cleansed, dead men raised? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with forgiveness? What's wrong with love your brother? Amen. What's wrong with love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? What's wrong with this ministry? What's wrong with this man? Nothing. And yet, they said if we just don't do something, everybody's going to believe on him. That's the idea. That's why he came, you know. And then the Romans, here it is, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place. Don't you get my place? You understand that? What do you do when you get to church a few minutes late and somebody's in your place? Huh? Somebody's in my place. They ought to know. They're a visitor, never been here before, but they ought to know I've been sitting there for years. Well, how are they going to know? Never been here before. Amen. So, really, just move over a little bit. Amen. Just find another place. You might like it. Could you have church in another place? Would it be possible to worship from another place? could you sing and clap your hands and close your eyes and pray from another place? But you see, we're very conscientious about position. And this is just human. I'm not really knocking it here. I'm not trying to be terribly facetious. I'm just trying to make a little point. But we do get into that, our place. You know, people, even though they may not realize it, place is important. It is. Whether you have a place or whether you own a place. I've known people to leave church because they didn't get a place they thought they ought to have. And I've known people to leave because they were moved to another place. So place is important to us. It was very important to the Pharisees. They had their little house set up the way they wanted it. They were in control of things. They were feared and respected and influential, and they didn't want anybody messing with that. We've got a place. We have made a place for ourselves here, and we don't want anybody to mess it up. How dare he come in here doing miracles and messing up our place? And the Romans are going to come and they're going to take away our place. He's going to mess it up for everybody. Amen. And then it's not just going to affect us, it's going to affect the whole nation. Yes, it is. Amen. How many know any Pharisees today? You probably do and don't know it. They don't call themselves that anymore. But their tribe's alive and well. They haven't died out. We just don't go by that name anymore. Matter of fact, nobody wants to be called one. But they still live. Amen. And so they lost their place anyway. And they lost their nation anyway. Didn't they? Yes, they did. Amen. And so this is their great fear. Let me just tell you, there's one thing that you can count on happening, and that is change. That's one thing. You mark it down, there's going to be change. Our illustrious president ran the first term on change, and he kept his word. And now it's forward. Amen. And we're headed that way. They tell me the cliff's supposed to happen about January, but we're forward. Anyway, we're headed that direction. We'll see what happens. But you know, some people, they don't like change. But change is inevitable. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You don't have to like it, but it's going to happen. You don't have to like computers, but they're around and they're going to be here. You don't have to like cell phones, but they're here. And we're going to have to deal with them. Amen. You may not like a lot of things that have happened in life, but it's here and we have to deal with it. We can't go back. There are many things I would like to change, but you can't change it. It's what we have. It's where we are. It's where we're headed. And we have to deal with that the way it is. Amen. Your place is going to change. Your nation is going to change. And you're just going to have to learn somehow to deal with that and keep your mind in the right perspective. You remember we sang a song that said, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." And we sing that song, don't we? And we quote the verse that we're pilgrims and strangers in the earth. Amen. We need to remember that. That our citizenship is not here. What happens here does affect us, but we're headed somewhere else. Amen. That song, Leaving on My Mind, what good would a world do me if I could buy it all with a solitary dime? Amen. What good would the world do me with leaving on my mind? So when we have our perspective right, we don't have to worry about change, and we don't have to worry about what's going on around us, because we're just here for a little while. And then it's all going to be over. Hallelujah. Are we not citizens of another realm? Hallelujah. Are we not subjects of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. Let's not get too wrapped up down here that everything upsets us and provokes us. But understand that this is all temporary and it's going to change. It's changing a lot faster, perhaps, than we thought it could. It's coming down a lot faster than we would ever have dreamed. But nonetheless, amen. I'm telling you one thing. I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He is still in control. In the year that Obama was elected, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His throne filled the temple. Amen. Or whoever else, it doesn't matter, folks. For Isaiah, it was King Uzziah dying. Whatever happens in your life that rocks your world, don't worry about it. God's still on the throne. Lift your eyes up. See the King. And understand that there's no reason to worry or fret. God's got it all in control. Amen. And so they were shaken to their very foundation. They said they're going to take away our place in our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all. You bunch of know-nothings." That's what he said. Nor consider that it's expedient for us. He said that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. See what he's saying? He's saying, well, what we'll do is just kill this one guy so that everybody else can live. Isn't that noble? If you're not that guy. But if you're the one that's going to die, all of a sudden it becomes expedient. Different. And so this was his solution. Well, and this is what we call situational ethics. And it's alive and well today. That same reasoning is still with us today. That, well, you know, it's all right to sacrifice one for the good of the whole. And you know, I've heard that. I've never been in one of those classes, but I've heard that in classes they actually do these scenarios. That you're in a boat and you know you've got a doctor and a lawyer and you got a janitor and a chicken catcher and different people in that boat, you know, and then you got to decide which one's the least important because somebody's got to go. And so you have to decide which one's the least important, and that's the one you cast overboard. So that's the same thing, isn't it? We still have that same old devil around today. Hadn't changed. But what Caiaphas didn't know was he was speaking prophetic words. He was saying what God had already purposed. He was doing the will of God. And he didn't even understand that. John understood that writing, of course, many years later. He said, "And this spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied. How in the world can a reprobate Jew prophesy?" Because God put it in his mouth. And he prophesied things that he himself did not understand. But he spake forth the word of God. Hallelujah. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Amen. Not only for that nation, but for all the children of God that are scattered abroad, he said. But you see, what happened, this is the aftermath of the miracle. In the middle of all of the miracle, in the middle of the faith, in the middle of the confusion, comes forth this fury and this madness, but it's really prophecy. And that's where you and I are standing today. We are looking at a world that is crumbling. Every place you look, folks, there's trouble on every side. Even the United States of America, that has been so stalwart and strong all of these years, but suddenly we're facing these insurmountable problems, and we've got debt that we can't seem to overcome, and we've got iconic companies that are crumbling underneath loads of debt. And we've got debts that we cannot pay. And we've got every kind of bad situation. And across the sea, the European nations are under the same gun, but even worse off than we are. Japan is shaking. And China is, well, deceiving everybody. Trying to tell us how good they're doing. Amen. But they're living in a house of cards. South America, you know, we were saying Australia, man, they're really coming on. Argentina, rather. They're really coming on. What you don't know about Argentina, they've been doing that for years. All you got to do is hang around in a year or two, they're in trouble again. Brazil's the same way. All of these house of cards that we see around us. And then we've got Hamas and the Syrians attacking Israel and Israel firing back and considering world war. And one of the leaders of Hamas said the gates of hell have opened, and he might be right. Amen. There's a nightmare going on. There's trouble going on in the world. There are perplexing times. But I'm telling you one thing that we know for sure. It's prophecy. You read your Bible, all of these things have already been talked about. And the Lord said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. It's not a time to fear and quake and shake, but it's a time to stand firm and believe and proclaim the word of the Lord. It's just prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see what's happening, folks. It's all gathered around us. The Bible said they took counsel to put him to death. And that's exactly what's going on in America today. They're trying to still put Jesus to death. Amen. You know what I find so stupid? I know that's a strong word, but it is. Here's a man that three times that they know of called people back from the dead. One of them had been dead for 4 days. And they said, we're going to kill him. Well, you tried that. You see what he does with that, right? I mean, that's not a problem. As a matter of fact, he told them that. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Did he keep his word? They think they got problems now. They really created a problem. They said, we'll kill him. Good. Amen. 3 days later, he resurrected. And what the angel said is true. He's alive. And he's alive forevermore. Amen. Ain't no more killing. Not ever going to put him to death again. Amen. He's the Lord of life and eternity. And he still lives, and he lives forever. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no stopping him. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you today that we don't have any reason to be afraid in this time. Amen. The same one they put to death that one final time, and hell was getting ready to party about the time a heavy hand hit the door. Amen. And heaven began to sing, "Open up, O ye gates, and the glory shall come in." Who is this Lord of glory? Amen. The Lord God Almighty, said the Scriptures. And He marched into the gates of hell itself and took death and hell captive. And all of the saints of the past that had died, He resurrected and He brought them into salvation's hall. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Death couldn't stop Him. He's the Lord of life. He put all of this together. It's all in His plan. All you've got to do is just decide whose side you're going to be on. Amen. It's still the same as it was in the day of Joshua when he stood before the conquest and said to Israel, "Who's on the Lord's side? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. We still got to make that decision. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you something. We're coming down to the time where it's going to cost you to serve Jesus Christ. We are coming to a time when you can serve Allah and it's not going to cost you in this life. You can serve anybody else, any other God you want to serve. Just don't call Him Jesus. Amen. We're coming to a time when Christians are hated like they've never been hated before. And you know what's funny about that? Is people call us the haters. The homosexuals are saying, "Y'all hate us." How untrue. How untrue. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't hate anybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got some family members. I don't hate them. Don't agree with them. But don't hate them. I've helped them. Amen. They've spent time in my home. Sent them money. And done everything I can to help. Amen. But I don't hate anybody. So I'm not a good hater. Amen. But you hate us because you disagree with us. No, we disagree, but we still love you. Amen. Christians are not haters. If you hate, you're in that Pharisee crowd. Take your head like this right here. If you hate somebody because they're different than you, you're in that Pharisee crowd. You're not in that Jesus crowd. Amen. We can't hate folks. You don't have to agree with them, but you can't hate them. Amen. You have to pray for them. You got to love them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Am I still preaching the book? I believe I am. Amen. We can't hate. That's not a part of Christianity. Amen. Yes, you hate sin. You can hate the devil, but you don't hate people. Even if they're different than you are. Praise the Lord. That's how we're going to win them. You don't win people by hating them. Praise the Lord. That's why Westboro Baptist Church got lots of problems. They're haters. They tell lies. Amen. They said God hates people, and God doesn't hate people. God loves people. Isn't that what it said? For God, so loved, so loved, so loved, so loved that He gave. Amen. Yes, He did. And we got to have that same spirit. Praise the Lord. We still got to love people. Love the lost. Be an example. Be a light. And do your very best to win them to Jesus Christ. And we're in a troubled world, folks. But this is all after the miracle. Jesus resurrected. And the world's never been the same. It's not ever going to be. Lines are being drawn. Praise the Lord. You know, did you know that our government actually passed a law recently that anybody that they can accuse of being a terrorist is they can put you in prison and in jail, and they don't even have to have cause, and you don't get a hearing. They passed that law in this United States of America without defining who terrorists are. So if they decide that Christians are terrorists, you're gone. Without recourse. But you know what? I know somebody that can open prison doors. So why should I be afraid? Hey, man, you talk about a captive audience. You get in there, you got a captive audience. They ain't going nowhere. You can just preach all day long. Hey, amen. They can't. They got to listen. Amen. It's not all bad, is it, folks? Praise the Lord. There's some light, even in the darkness. For the children of light, we have nothing to fear. That's why Paul always wrote when he was in prison, and he said, I'm Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. He never called him a prisoner of Rome. He said, the only reason I'm here is because God wants me here. When he wants me out of here, I'll get out of here. That's exactly what happened in Philippi. The Lord said, it's time for Paul and Silas to leave, and he got them out. So Paul understood from that one experience that if I'm in here, it's because the Lord wants me in here. He wants me out, he'll get me out. So I'm not a prisoner of Rome, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. We've got to understand that about life. Amen. When things happen you don't understand, God's still in control. You're in that. He'll get you out of that when it's time to get you out of that. And he can do it in the twinkling of an eye. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't understand. God understands. We don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on. And he's still in control. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know a man, he had problems, lots of problems, had health problems. And he was so worried, because he knew that it was going to cost him $250,000 to pay his medical bills, and no way he had it or could get his hands on it or never ever would get his hands on that much money. Amen. He got a letter in the mail sometime later telling him that $250,000 had been taken care of. To this day, he don't know how it happened. But I'm just saying that to tell you this, that God's in control. You don't have to worry. Amen. You don't have to worry. God's got it all in his hands. And he's going to work the things out that he needs to work out. Yes, there's darkness coming. There's trouble on the way. The Bible said there would be. Amen. We're pretty soft. We've had it really easy for a long time. And we're not used to this kind of thing. But God's grace is sufficient, and it's going to be all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to see to it that it's going to be okay, and God's going to take care of things. Amen. But we have to get the right perspective, folks. You can't think like an earthling and a worldling here. If you do, you're not going to make it. You're going to have to get your eyes on a higher prize. There are many Christians that actually watch their loved ones be murdered. They watch them die. But they could do that because they understood one thing, that they're just transferring from temporal to eternal. They're just entering in from trouble to rest. They're going from time to eternity. They're leaving behind torment and torture and trouble for peace and joy in the kingdom of God. They understood that. That it wasn't losing them, it was loosing them to enjoy what God had prepared. We better get that mindset or we're going to have some troubles in our life. So we got to get that mindset or we're going to have some troubles in our life. If we think that the death of a person is the end of life, we're wrong. It's not the end. For the redeemed, that's the beginning. Hello? Am I still preaching here? Amen. Am I still telling the truth here? Amen. We need to get a hold of that mindset, folks. We need to get a hold of that mindset. If not, you can drive yourself insane trying to answer questions that God has already answered. Amen. We can't think like the world. We've got to think like heaven. Amen. Understand that this world is not our home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, we thank you today that you're working all things for your good. This is your kingdom. This is your earth. This is your world. And you have come to take a bride from among them. We're a part of that bride today. And yes, as you said, as you were hated, that we're going to be hated for your name's sake. And you said the same ones that persecuted you are going to persecute us. And the same kind of troubles that you endured, we're going to endure. Amen. But the same resurrection that you experience is our resurrection. And the same eternal life that you now live in is our eternal life. So we have nothing to lose, just everything to gain. Help us to understand these things. Help us to grasp these things. And in the time of our trouble and our tribulation, please bring these things to our memory for our comfort. We thank you today, Jesus, for hearing us. And we thank you today for helping us. In the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Everybody say he's in control. He is in control. Amen. He hasn't left us. He's with us always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus be.